Welcome to Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. Society doesn't want you to blame anything but yourself. It's a trait, not mental health. People out there is not going to understand you until you let them know. You definitely got to take into account your mental health. You have to tune into your own mind. Hey, what's going on? It's your man Casanova Williams with another Black Men's Mental Health Podcast. First, of course, I want to thank everybody that's been supporting it. The podcast, I know y'all going crazy over the new format and how I'm focusing on real mental health issues and not ranting anymore. You know, I appreciate that, man. I mean, yeah, you rocked with me for a few years where I was going through my, I don't think the podcast was bad, to be honest. I think it was still good, but I did stray away from actual mental health and talking directly about it. I talked about things that related to it and that contribute to it, but I wasn't direct. Now I'm being direct, and I appreciate the support and the love and, yeah, seeing the growth and stuff like that. So as you see from the title, what we're talking about, sleep, stress, and your mood, okay? You know, I always like to relate it to my story. You know, as you know, I went through a mental health breakdown a few years ago, about four years ago, and which helped me to start this podcast. And one of the things that I was diagnosed with was sleep deprivation. That was something that was happening for years. I got maybe 2 to 3 hours of sleep. I really wasn't sleeping well. But the problem with sleep deprivation is that you don't know that it's affecting you. Your body adjusts, but your mind doesn't. You become slower. You're not thinking as clearly. But see, you don't know because technically your body has adjusted to it. And you think you're going, but you're not really going. There are a lot of things that Black men don't say that to express our stress, our mood. You know, we don't say I'm depressed. We don't say I'm anxious. You know, we say things like I'm tired. I'm stressed. I just need to push through. And that's the idea when we have these things, when we're stressed or when we have need sleep or we just in a bad mood, the go-to is I'm going to push through. And the thing about particularly about sleep, it's actually one of those things that it goes sleep disturbance is a core symptom across multiple mental health diagnoses. You'll be surprised when your sleep is off, your mood is off, when you're dealing with depression, when you're dealing with PTSD, when you're dealing with sexual anxiety and anxiety in general, a lot of things. Lack of sleep is one of the symptoms that come with it. You know, when you can't sleep, or you have very bad sleeping habits, or you're waking up multiple times at night, it really, really is something deeper than just, I'm antsy or whatnot. I think when we were younger, right? I don't know about you, but when I was younger and I knew I was taking a field trip or something big was happening in school the next day, I couldn't sleep because I was so excited, right? I was just so like, oh my God, you know, I'm going on this field trip tomorrow. I'm going to, yay. And I was so excited, I could hardly sleep. And I think, you know, for me, you know, I've heard a lot of other people too, but I don't like to, you know, say everybody, because, you know, everybody is different. You may have not, but you get used to the, oh, I'm not sleeping because I'm excited. Oh, I'm not sleeping because I got a lot on my plate and my mind is thinking. But it really is connected to a disorder. Like, for example, these are disorders that is actually connected to, like, you know, you'd be shocked, like major depressive disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, PTSD, which I speak about a lot, bipolar disorder, and adjustment disorder. All of these are connected with sleep, with your mood, with stress. You know what I'm saying? You'd be surprised, you know? And then it's little things like trouble falling asleep, waking up throughout the night, which I mentioned already, sleeping too much but never feeling rested. This is another one as well, because see, sometimes you will sleep, right, for the full night, and then you get up and you're still tired, right? You never feel rested because, see, there's a mental thing going on with you that your mind can't rest. Your body is resting, but your mind is not resting. Another thing is early morning waking with racing thoughts. Like, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you're thinking about everything you got to do during the day, you're stressed, the job is stressing you, your relationship is stressing you, everything is stressing with you. That is a sign that something mental is going on that's deeper, that these diagnoses, but we ignore it. See, the thing is, we justify it as far as like just everyday life. Oh, I'm just stressed out. Oh, my job got me stressed out. Oh, business got me stressed out. Things like that. But at the end of the day, it's a mental health disorder. I want to emphasize, and this is what I'm doing from now on with all my podcasts. I am not trying to throw it away anyway, saying, oh, the men, we just got problems and issues and we could work through it like men and stuff like that. I still believe we have to take accountability. You know what I'm saying? Like my book, Men Are Meant to Be Broken, you know, speaks a lot about accountability on our end. So don't get me wrong. I still believe we have to take a lot of accountability of things we do in our life. But with that said, we need to recognize, you know what? Let me go back. Taking accountability is actually recognizing that you have a mental health problem and you should address it. Now, some mental health problem isn't as serious as I need to go to therapy. I need to get on pills. Like I had to do that for a while. I had to balance myself out from my depression, anxiety, and sleep deprivation. The pills helped me to sleep. They helped me to get my mind right. And then when I was right, you know what happened? I stopped. Now, I'm not suggesting this for anybody, so please don't take my advice. I'm not a medical person at all. Certifications does not make me qualified to give medical mental advice on that level, okay, when it comes to medication, okay? You need to talk to your doctor about it. But for me, I woke up one day and I said to myself, I'm done. No more. And I stopped taking the pills, like literally cold turkey. Now, of course, doctors say that's bad. You need to weed off and things like that. You know, so I understand. So I'm not telling anybody to do what I did, but I'm just telling you that as a man, I made a decision in my life. I took accountability for my mental health and I said, I'm not going to use the medication anymore as a crutch. And I literally stopped. Cold turkey, woke up one day, I'm done. And I never took a pill again. Why is that? Because I control my mood. I control my stress. I control everything. Now, for me, I found certain activities that calm me down. And I know what you're thinking, Cass, activities. No, not like that. I got into cigar smoking. Now, I'm not saying that that's the best thing to do, people. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying advocating for people to get lung cancer or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, cigar, you know, you don't inhale it in your lungs. You just, you know, you taste it. You puff on it, you blow it out, you relax. Not saying that it's not still bad because I wonder why I say, oh, you want one bad thing to another, Cass. Oh, no, not at all. But for me, I found a place. I made a place on my back patio. I have a TV out there, and I have a fire table, right? You know, with the fire and stuff like that. And I sit there with, you know, my cigar, right? Maybe a nice drink. I'm not advocating being alcoholic. I'm just telling you what I do to relax, you know, turn on the fireplace, get my cigar, maybe a nice drink, maybe a nice bourbon, maybe a nice whiskey, you know, something like that. You know, not a whole full cup drunk, just a nice little cup, you know what I'm saying? And just turn on, there's this station, Light, right? It plays nothing but music videos, right? So I'll go on the station that plays 90 hip hop music or R&B feels where, you know what I'm saying, plays nice R&B music and I just relax there. Like if I had a stressful day, I take that time to relax and chill. No wife, no kids, no business. You know, I may scroll over here and there, catch up on my internet stuff. But in general, I'm chilling there. I'm relaxing. I'm calming myself down from the day, getting prepared for the next day. Now, this may not be your peace or your calm, but at the end of the day, you have to find something in your life where it's at peace. where, you know, you do it and it's relaxing you. Because if you're going all the time, now I'm a busy person. I have jobs, I have my companies, kids, wife, all that. I'm a busy person. But I always take that time for myself to relax, to get myself centered, to get myself, calm myself down. Because if you don't do that to yourself, there's a lot of fallback from it. And I'm reiterating this because I want you to understand that stress, sleep, and your mood is very important to your well-being. All right. Let me just throw some statistics out there for you so you understand what I'm talking about. Okay. Adults sleeping fewer than 6 hours per night report significantly higher risk of anxiety, depression, and depression symptoms. Black adults are more likely to experience short sleep duration compared to other racial groups. All right. And if you go into black men and black female, black men is even worse. Chronic sleep deprivation is linked to increased irritability, poor decision-making, and emotional reactivity. So understand that, and I can speak from personal experience, when you don't sleep, you make bad decisions. Your emotions are everywhere. You're irritable. And you don't even notice it. See, it's a silent killer. Like somebody told me one time that sleep deprivation is the silent killer, because the thing is, you won't know that you are actually not making the best decisions. You won't know that you're emotionally unstable. You won't know, because it's not one of those things that's like a clear sign where, you know, it could be, it's regular life. And you're making these decisions with the best of your capability of your brain power, not knowing that you're working at 30%. But see, because you're working that full 30%, you think your mind is sharp, and it's not. And then the effects of it, right? When sleep and stress are unmanaged, mood changes often show up as short temper and impatience, emotional numbness, loss of motivation, feeling disconnected from people, increased anxiety, and overthinking. So at the end of the day, we may see those things as normal in your life. You ever meet somebody and they just grumpy all the time? Oh, they're not emotionally available. I mean, all these things that we say are characteristics of a person. But at the end of the day, it's really their mood, sleep deprivation. It's really them, you know what I'm saying, having anxiety. It's really them, their mood is not well, them being stressed out. And this is important because the life of a black man is a life of stress. See, this is what we do too. We normalize things. Black men often normalize poor sleep due to long work hours and multiple jobs. That was my problem, right? I was out there hustling, getting it, right? Working my 9-to-5 job, working my company. I was in the office. I had a building in downtown Orlando, right? I had to build a whole building, my office. I had a video room, a podcast room, an editing room, a studio room. It was nice and big. And I used to be in there 5 days a week doing shows because people were paying to come to my podcast studio to do the show and be on my network. I was in there 5 days a week. And every day after work, I come home for maybe an hour. Then I run to the studio and I'm doing shows from anywhere from 6 o'clock to 11 o'clock at night. Every day, every single day, Monday through Friday. And then the weekends, I was either working on projects, trying to, you know, go out with my wife, trying to do other business as well, traveling, all this stuff. So 7 days a week was nonstop. Little sleep. Another thing is financial pressure, which makes us think normalize poor sleep because we're thinking about how we're going to get the next check. You know what I'm saying? We got to get this money. Bills are due. You know what I'm saying? Mortgage is not, you know, the bank ain't gonna say, oh, you got problems. So no, they want their money every first of the month. So as a man, I got kids.
You know what I'm saying? One time, my kid had braces. My daughter's a dance. You know what I'm saying? The wife, she wants to live life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of pressure on you as a black man to get this money because you got to support everything. I had a company I had to support. I had to, you know, invest in this and invest in that. If the equipment broke in the studio, which happened often, you know what I'm saying? Just regular wear and tear stuff. Like I had to fix it or buy something new or something came out that would be great asset to what's already set up. You know, we did all of that. That's money coming out my pocket. Every month after, you know, I had shows, right? Every month, I felt like a bill collector because I'm calling people like, hey, you know, where's your money? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, rent's due. That wasn't only clients that were working. That was also my business partners. I'm calling my business partners. Hey, man, the rent's due, man. Hit me up. Blah, blah, blah. Yo, man, when I'm going to get there? Blah, blah, blah. And then if for some reason, people's like, oh, man, I can't get you the first, but I'm going to get you on like the sixth, the seventh. I got to pay the bills. So now I got to front that money, which is pressure, because if I got to front $1,000 to be on time to pay my mortgage, to pay the rent for the building, that's coming out my pocket. Even though I may get it back, but at that time, that's coming out my pocket. So I have to have an extra $1,000 or go into my savings to cover that. That's pressure. Also, with the financial pressure, which make you have poor sleep, is family responsibilities. You know, I mean, you know, around Christmas time, around, you know, birthdays and all, you know, there's stuff that needs to be built. You know, my daughter got a vanity, so I got to spend hours building the vanity and doing this or doing that or cleaning the house, fixing things in the house and something breaks down because I live in a house. You know, we got to call somebody to pay somebody to come in. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all this responsibility you have to handle as the man. I'm the father, so I have to make sure the house is not falling apart. Something's not looking right. Shoot, right now, I had a plumber come in and redo some plumbing because we had a broken pipe right in behind the wall. So now I could pay for somebody, dude. They had to break through my wall and through the floor, like literally through the floor because the pipe grows through my floor, through the wall, then through the floor. So they had to break it like an L shape. So now I got missing tile. And I got missing wall that like I could pay somebody to do it or I could do it myself because, you know, I'm pretty handy. But regardless, that's still the responsibility of being the father, my family responsibility. Now I got to, you know, close a hole in the wall. And then also there's a thing that helps with poor sleep and people don't really talk about is social expectation to handle it. Like, it's expected for you as a black man to handle your business no matter what comes your way. If you get hit in the bat in the head, you are expected to get up, brush yourself off, and handle it. See, that's another thing. Because you'll be losing sleep about that or your sleeps are restless because it's like in your head, you know, shit, I gotta go fix this when I wake up in the morning. Shit, I gotta go get this money. Shit, I gotta go to work. I gotta do this. That's all pressure. So yeah, when you go to sleep, you can't relax because your mind is still racing because you know you have all these things that need to be done. So you don't get proper sleep because of all those factors. Let me go over them again because this may be you. Because I'm really trying to help people. And have my black men understand and recognize. So let's go through it again. Long hours and multiple jobs, financial pressure, family responsibility, and social expectation to handle it. Now, if you fit in any of those, no wonder why you're not getting sleep at night. Or no wonder why you wake up and you're still tired. This is reality. This is facts. I'm not here to coddle black men. I'm not here to say there's no accountability from black men. But I want you to understand that at the end of the day, you need to recognize this stuff because sleep, stress, and your mood is very important. And people that are looking at you are always going to misinterpret what it is, what the attention is. You're moody. They're going to be like, oh, see, that's that black man here. Black men are just aggressive, violent. You know, you got stress. Oh, you got stress. Oh, you don't got stress. Especially from our black women. You know, when we express our pain, our suffering, what? You got it easy. Why are you complaining? You need sleep. Oh, you sleep all the time. If a woman sees you sleep 8 hours and you wake up, you say you're still tired. Well, you slept 8 hours. I only slept 4 and I have the kids. So it's always about them. See, we're the only people. And when I mean people, black men, we're the only people on this earth that nobody cares about our issues. We're the only people on this earth that when we express our issues and our problems, they always come back with their problems because they think our problems are nothing or we have it good. Like literally think in your life right now, man. Think in your life, my black man. Think when you have expressed your feelings to your mom, to your wife, to your girlfriend, to other people, how do they react? Like, I already know. They look at you and say, why are you complaining? You have it good. My problems, though, it's like when you yell out all Black Lives Matter and they yell back all lives matter. Right? It's the same thing. The exact same thing. Because that all they're doing is saying that your individual problems don't trump our problems or the greater good. Like, there's duality in it. Meaning that, yeah, we know all lives matter. But we're not talking about all lives. We're talking about black lives and our circumstances. But see, when that came out, it was funny to black men, I think, because that is how we always feel. When we express how we feel, it's never a conversation about our problems. I think every race, every gender, there's only, you know, whatever gender, everybody has their own issues. No matter what you identify as, gender-wise, mental-wise, it doesn't matter. Everybody has their own set of problems. Whether they're legit or not doesn't matter. The perception to that group of people is real, and those are their problems. Everybody has it. So why can't we have a discussion about our problems without being told about your problems or downplaying our problems because you feel your problems is not as big as our problems? That's what black men deal with all the time. So when that came out, people, Black Lives Matter, all that, I laughed. I think a lot of black men laughed. Like, that's our life. That's what we live through. Every time I do a conference, right, I always start off and I say, black men's mental health is a problem. And like clockwork, I always have a black woman raise her hand and say, well, women's mental health problem is a problem too. Women's mental health is a problem too. I swear I've done enough of these conferences, these talks, where every time I do it, it's the same thing. It's like when you say black men's mental health is a problem, it is like a slap to the face of a black woman. Because they feel as we don't have any problems or issues at all. And why are we even talking about our problems? We don't have them as much as they. Now, granted, whether I believe it or not, yes, black women have their own individual problems. They do. So I'm not negating that at all. They all have their problems. Don't get me wrong. Black women have a lot of problems they deal with every day. But so do black men. See, the thing is, you don't have to dismiss the other side to prove your side. Both sides could be right. We got problems. I got problems. But if I'm at a conference and it says this is about black men's mental health, then I'm going to go to that conference not to confront that person on you know what I'm saying, to validate my own issues, I'm going to listen to their problems. And whether I agree with it or not, it's not my shared experience. So who am I to tell them that they're wrong for how they feel? You know, it's like, you know, having a girlfriend or a wife or even your parents at some times, and you're telling them how you feel. But they look at you and say, ah, your problems are not big enough. I have these problems. And you know what? I've done it as an adult myself. You know, my son has come to me and said, Dad, I have problems. And I say, you really don't have problems. But see, it's a matter of perspective, right? Because in his world, his problems are big. In his world, his problems are legit. Now, as an adult and being older, I may know that these are little problems, not really big problems and things like that. But you have to understand people's mental capacity for understanding is different. People's experience of life are different. My son is 18, coming from the mental capacity of an 18-year-old. I'm in my 40s, double that. So at the end of the day, my mental capacity and my life experience far outweighs his. So of course, I can look at things a lot differently. But see, trying to explain it to him is never going to work because we have different shared experiences. We're on different levels of thinking. So if I'm arguing with somebody about their experience, I'm wrong because they don't see things like I do. Now, if we're having a discussion and it's asked upon me or it's the environment where we're going to discuss things, that's one thing. But if I'm putting my ideas and telling this person that their ideas is not valid for their situation, I'm wrong. I can correct them. I could say, just like my son, hey, I know you think it's bad now, but let me try to make you understand. But regardless of that, he doesn't have the fortitude to even think beyond where he's at right now. And that's what people need to understand. So Black men, we can't, and trust me, it is beautiful to get acceptance from our family, our friends, our wife, our girlfriend. Trust me, I've been there where I want acceptance from them, right? So I work hard and I'm hoping for that. But see, the mood, I know I'm bringing it back now, people. The mood has to be you handle your business and recognize what's going on with you and find your peace, because nobody's going to address your stress, your sleep deprivation, your mood. Nobody's going to address it but you. So you have to take charge of your own life, of your own mental. Because unlike every other race out there and gender or gender identity, nobody's going to tell you, oh, Black man, I feel for you. Here's the support to support you. That's just the reality. There's no support for us. I remember one time years ago, lost my job. And I said, you know what, let me apply for some benefits, right? So I apply for welfare or public assistance, whatever you want to call it. And you know what they offered me? As a Black man with kids, they offered me $16 a month. No, I'm going to repeat this. A Black man with kids, with bills, they said I was eligible for $16 a month. Like, I literally couldn't believe that. I was like, and I called. I said, this must be a mistake. This must be probably a big mistake. So I called up and they said, oh, no, that's what you're eligible for. I'm like, wait, hold on. I've paid my taxes. I was employed for many years. I paid my taxes. I have kids I need to support. A mother out there could have one kid being irresponsible and she gets a good amount of money, housing assistance, all this stuff. Same with me as a Black man, $16 a month. $16 a month. Can you believe that? That's when I understood that the game ain't made for us. The game is not designed for us to win. Because if I wasn't married and my wife wasn't, you know, working at the time, and if I didn't have like maybe a savings and stuff, I would have been homeless within a month. I would have been in them streets. But see, that's the world we live in. That's the reality. So you got to check your stress. You got to check your mood. Like for me, I found a way to chill, relax. I'm on the patio smoking a cigar, drinking a nice little bourbon drink, looking at my little fire pit saying, yeah, I'm relaxing. I'm not letting nobody bother me, no nothing. Because if you look outer for inner healing, you'll be screwed. You know what I'm saying? And people say, well, Cash, you said in one of the things, go to therapy. Yeah, you have to go to therapy and you have to find somebody that's going to do their job for therapy. But nobody's going to come and give you support. How many grants are for guys? How much things are out there, for, especially with black men? How many things are out there for us to rely on? We can't rely on nothing. There's not a system in this world that's fair to us. Well, okay, let me repeat that. There's not any system in this world that is going to automatically be fair to us. Meaning, yeah, there are resources and things out there, but we have to find it and we have to do what we have to do to attain it. It's not going to just come naturally. Literally, nobody's going to knock on the door and say, hey, there's grants for you, things like that. Black women, there's a lot of stuff out there. You go to any job fair or any career source or whatnot, there are programs for black women. You go on the government. I mean, it's abundance of it, of help for black women. But for us, we got to go find it. Now, there are things out there, so don't get me wrong, but nobody's promoting it. Nobody's pushing it. We got to get out there and get it. That's what I mean. So I'm not trying to say that there's nothing out there for you, but you got to do the work to get it. Black women don't have to do the work because there's just abundance out there. There's money set aside just for them. Us? Not at all. And that could be stressed by itself. So I'm going to wrap this up because there's a few things I want y'all to think about, because I want to leave y'all with something to think about. All right. How many nights do you actually rest? Now, you don't got to tell me. I don't want no email, nothing. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. How many nights do you really rest? And of those nights that you rest, how many hours do you sleep? Like, think about it. Also, how often does stress follow you to the bed? Meaning, before you go to sleep, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about the next day? Are you thinking going over scenarios of that day and what could have been better? Are you thinking about the problems you have to face the next day when you wake up, almost dreading to not wake up? Now, it could be severe. Like, my depression was severe. I didn't even want to wake up. I wanted to just die. Unfortunately, I was suicidal. My thoughts were deep and dark. Trust me. So think about that to yourself. When you go to sleep, what are you thinking about when you go to sleep? And when you wake up, are you fully rested? And if you have a response to this that is not of the nature of, oh, I sleep well every night, I don't stress, then you know what? There's a problem that you have to address. See, I wish I could tell you that there's so much support for your problems. I really do. Trust me, I do. But there isn't. Even when I look online with a lot of people that say they want to help black men and stuff like that, they're just doing things for clickbait. All these red pills and all that stuff, all these guys are doing is trying to get money from your issues, gassing your head, telling you all these lies about what you should do as a man, and they're not really helping you out. And then you take that advice and you try to apply it to your life, and it ends badly. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some things they say that I look at, I say, yeah, you know, it's right. You know, it is. But a lot of things are really pushed on the mood, the feeling, and they play on that because we do feel neglected. We do feel like the world's against us. They play on that. So they distort, everything. They make things look worse than what they are. Not saying that they're not bad, but they really emphasize these things. And then you come off as this male, you get this false confidence and you become a male chauvinist and this egotistical person against what that hate all women and think they're nothing. And now you're in a bad situation. Now you're in a bad relationship. Or you just can't get in a relationship. So at the end of the day, you have to empower yourself. Now, with everything, there's always a sliver of truth. But you have to understand what's the truth and what isn't. Don't take everything, even myself. My experiences are probably different than yours. So don't even take my advice to the point where, oh, yo, Cass is always right. No. Do your research. Find out for yourself. If you really want to know about mental health, I suggest you buy a copy of the DSM-5 and educate yourself. You will be surprised on how much knowledge you would see in that book. I'm telling you. I'm completely telling you. You'll be surprised. Because at the end of the day, knowledge is what you need. Knowledge is what you need to tackle these things. Nobody's going to give you the knowledge. Nobody's going to hand it. Nobody's going to sugarcoat anything. As Black men, we don't get that. We're not afforded that from anybody. So empower yourself. Learn. And if anything I'm saying is true in your life, then it's time for you to face it and handle it. Because at the end of the day, and when I say handle it, not handle it like, oh, you're supposed to. No, I mean, do what you need to do for your mental health. So you're not stressed out, you're sleeping proper, and your mood is stable. All right, guys, I appreciate you listening to this podcast, man. Like, I really feel so good, man, these last few weeks of doing this podcast and really focusing on mental health and getting back to what this podcast started as. I appreciate the love and the attention you're giving of it, and you're loving it, and I'm reaching more people. Thank you. I appreciate it a lot. There's a lot going on, conferences and speaking engagements, stuff like that. Follow me on Instagram at CassanovaWilliams.com, on TikTok. You go to TikTok, Black Men's Mental Health on TikTok. I'm doing a little something on there too. You know, go to CassanovaWilliams.com to check out this podcast and everything I have going on with my businesses and stuff. And also go to BlackMen'sMentalHealth.com. If you just want to listen to this podcast and all the rest of the 200 plus podcasts I've done, it's all there. All right, guys, until next time.